Now, how much do you know about Sydney? How much do you think you know about Sydney? Well, one of my absolute favourite segments that we do have here on 2SER, Breakfast Dictionary of Sydney, joins us to run us through some of the history of this weird and wonderful city of ours. Peter Hobbins from Sydney Uni joins us in the studio now. Peter, good morning.
G'day, Tess. Nice to be back as always.
Good to have you in. So what are we having a chat about this week?
I thought this week we'd talk about some top secret research that was undertaken at the University of Sydney during World War II.
I always forget how involved we were in World War II here in Australia. It's something that completely slips my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was a major operational base, not only for the Australians, but also for the Americans in their attempt to push back the Japanese approach to New Guinea and through the islands as well. So, no, Sydney was a major centre.
So what sort of research went down?
The element that I want to talk about today is a flying suit, which sounds pretty basic, but it's actually particularly about trying to give Allied fighter pilots, so American, Australian, and to some extent British fighter pilots, an edge in dogfighting over German and Japanese planes during the war. And we came up with a great idea.
Okay.
But the question is, of course, did it work?
Well, that was going to be my next question. So when you say flying suits, do you mean the sorts that we have nowadays, the ones that keep all the pressure in your legs so you don't pass out, those sorts?
Yeah, G-suit, basically. Okay. So have you ever been to Luna Park?
I have, yes.
So if you've ever been on a ride like the Rota or the pirate ship,
ooh, yes,
you understand, in essence, G-force, you know, that centrifugal force of spinning around that actually either pins you to the side of the ride or you can feel the blood actually draining away from your head. And fighter pilots, particularly in the 1930s, coming up to the start of the Second World War in 1939, fighter pilots were increasingly realized that when they were pulling a really tight turn in the air or pulling out of a really steep dive, that the blood was rushing from their head and their heart down into their tummy and their legs. And that led first to their vision going a bit gray, and then their vision went completely black, so they called it blackout. And then if they kept pulling that turn, they would actually go unconscious. Now, obviously, if you're trying to shoot down an enemy plane or if there is an enemy plane on your tail and you lose consciousness, it's not good. It also isn't really good for pilots to go unconscious when they're flying anyway. So this was becoming a big issue by about 1940.
And so how did the research at Sydney Uni come into it?
So as it happened at the University of Sydney at the start of World War II, there was a physiologist who was a specialist in the human cardiovascular system, the heart and the blood vessels. And he was reading about the Battle of Britain in September 1940. He was sitting at home one night reading the newspaper and he had this flash of inspiration. I know how to fix this problem. And he immediately saw this idea for a new type of flying suit that pilots could wear to help stop them blacking out. What he decided was they needed something a little bit like what these days we think of as a wetsuit, a rubberized suit that went from their feet all the way up to the bottom of their rib cage. But the critical thing was that it inflated rapidly when the plane was under high G, when it was feeling these really tight, these really heavy forces while it was turning tightly. And the idea was basically the suit would inflate and squeeze the legs and the tummy to stop the blood pooling there and keep the blood in the heart and particularly in the head so you wouldn't lose your vision and you wouldn't lose consciousness, or at least for those critical extra seconds when the enemy pilot was about to black out.
And so, I mean, like I said, we've got sort of the G-suit today, which I imagine must have been based on this idea. Did they work, this sort of rudimentary G-suit?
Yeah, the Canadians and the Americans, as well as Frank Cotton at Sydney Uni, all developed different ideas. And because it was wartime, they were all secret and they didn't know about each other's work until after Japan entered the war in December 1941. And then they all met up and realised they all had different ideas and they were all good ideas. But Frank Cotton's idea was seen as perhaps the best at a technical level. You know, he actually had the most effective way of counteracting G and gave pilots an extra edge in combat. Unfortunately, though, from then on, the story got a bit sadder that his suit required so much development and it also required installing a ride a bit like the Rota at Luna Park called a centrifuge, a human centrifuge that span around at the University of Sydney as well. It was in the old medical school. Now, that allowed him to understand why pilots blacked out and to test the suit and all the other bits of equipment that went with it. But the centrifuge itself, it was okay, but it was put together in a hurry in wartime and it just couldn't cope with the demands being put on it. So he had a great idea and he had some equipment and the Air Force was behind him and the university was behind him, But gradually over the coming years, the suit just didn't really get developed fast enough to ever be used in combat. So his idea was in 1940, the suit went up to Darwin to be tested against the Japanese in 1943. And just as they finally got it there, after 3 years of development, the Japanese stopped actually flying over northern Australia mostly. So it never had a chance to be tested there.
So it didn't, I guess, when it comes to winning the war, it didn't really have much of an impact when it does come to actual combat.
No, that's right. I mean, it was one of those sad things. It was a great idea. They finally got most of the bugs ironed out. but by the time it was ready, they found that there was no real need for it over Australia. And the other problem was, it was, you know, can you imagine wearing a wetsuit that weighs about 10 kilos and hanging around in Darwin in 30 degree heat for hours and hours waiting for enemy planes to come over and then having to run into your plane to get in and take off and fight them? So the pilots hated it as well. And that was, I think, the other major reason. They understood it might help them in the air, but they just hated having to swelter in it for hours.
Oh, I don't doubt it. I don't blame them at all. Well, where can we find out more information?
As always, if you go to the Dictionary of Sydney website, dictionaryofsydney.org, just wait a couple of days and we'll write up a blog post about this and have some pictures and a bit more information as well. In fact, even today I'm going into the Macleay Museum at the University of Sydney where they have some bits of this flying suit still in store. So I'll see if we can add a few photos from that little adventure as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. Great. Thanks so much, Peter.
Cheers.
Peter Hobbins there from the University of Sydney, running us through Dictionary of Sydney for the week. As I said, I always forget that Sydney had any involvement in World War II, really, Australia's impact on the war, but a lot of really cool stuff did go down here during those years.